السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا ابن رسول الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء، الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم، فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. Refresh your soul and sweeten your mouth by loud salawat for Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Shukran, shukran jazeera. First, let me as a preface mention why we are here for these few nights. What is the purpose? The purpose is we are here for two main things, for a dual purpose. Number one is to learn, and number two is to worship. To learn lessons from our leader, from the Prophet, the peace and the blessing of Allah be upon him, his progeny, his family, and in particular the master of the martyrs, Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Hussein, to learn lessons from his movement, from his revolution. And second, to worship here. Yes, this is dedicated for Allah. What we are doing here is indeed a form of worshiping, a form of devotion and dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will come, inshallah, during this night and the future nights, I will share with you the sayings of the Prophet himself and the progeny of the Prophet and the infallible Imams of the household of the Prophet regarding the significance of commemorating such events, in particular the events of Ashura and Muharram. So we are here to worship too, and therefore, my brothers and sisters, I ask you, I humbly and kindly ask you to dedicate this night for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, meaning that once you leave your house, once you get into the car, once you walk, coming to this session, or even going to other sessions, which belongs to the master of the martyrs, say and utter the niyyah, the intention. Say, I am going, I am leaving my house with my family, with my partner, with my children. I'm going to learn and I am going to worship Allah there. I am going there qurbatan ila Allah ta'ala, seeking the nearness to Allah. What you are doing now is going to be an asset for you, not only in the hereafter. It would remain an asset for you here. You will see. I have mentioned this to some friends today, that each and every person who dedicates his or her life or time or money or energy, even for a few minutes, not necessarily the whole time, few minutes a day, helping, supporting, working in these sessions, will see the fruits and the positive results in this life before the day after. You will see it. So these are sessions of learning and sessions of worshiping. And at the outset, I ask my Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to grant us the reward and to enable us to be the true servants and the humble servants of the school of Ahlul Bayt, of the school of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his pure and immaculate progeny, and would accept what we do for him, although whatever we do here is not compared in any way to the sacrifice of Imam Hussein. But still we are on the same boat, in the same boat, on the same road, inshallah. We seek their company here at the moment of death and in the hereafter. In fact, this was the wish, the grand wish of one of the great messengers and apostles of Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam, Joseph, one. Allah reunited him with his family after a long separation, almost 40 years of separation from his parents, from his brothers. And he became the prime minister in Egypt. He became the sovereign. When he looks at his parents, he raises his head to the Lord. And he says, Lord, you have fulfilled part of your promise for me. You have fulfilled part of my dream and part of my aspirations, but the grand aspiration and the need that I have is not the family reunion today. Listen to what he says in Surah Yusuf. Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk wa 'allamtani min ta'wil al-ahadith fatir as-samawati wal-ard. Oh my Lord, you have bestowed on me the kingdom and the sovereignty and bestowed on me wisdom and knowledge. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard. This is my aspiration. This is my wish. Tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis-salihin. Take my soul when I die. I want to die surrendering completely to you, and then joining the righteous. If you open the books of commentary on the Quran, tafsir, you would find that he meant by this sentence, the last sentence, as-salihin, the righteous, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, alayhim afdhalu salatu wassalam. That is the wish of Yusuf, and it is the wish of each and every genuine believer and faithful in Islam. Tonight's theme, I call it quality Islam, the quality Islam. The essential components of our creation, of man's creation, are three. Number one, reason and reasoning. Number two, freedom and a free will. And number three, human dignity, human honor, and a human value. And the focus of my presentation tonight is the third element, the human dignity, the human honor, and the human value. If we look at the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah the Almighty mentions, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. Indeed, we were the one who created you. We were the one who formed and shaped you, gave you shape, physical shape, human shape. And immediately after that, right away after that, without any separation, he says, ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. We bade the angels to bow down to Adam. And this is the manifestation of the human value and the human worth and the human dignity. Right away, after our physical formation, comes the bestowing of the value and the dignity on us without any separation. This is why in Islam, as soon as the sperm fertilizes the egg and we become fetus, this is our beginning, this is the beginning of the whole creation. As soon as that one is done, we have immunity. Immunity against the crime, immunity against temperament with us. This is why abortion is strictly forbidden, one of the cardinal sins in Islam, to abort and to kill a fetus, a child, a baby. And it mounts to slaying of a human being. Maybe the fetus or the baby, maybe the mother would think that he's not good for me, I don't have time for it. Maybe the father would think that I don't have money to sustain this newborn baby. We don't have time to raise it, to take care of it. But this fetus and this baby and this embryo has a great value in the eyes of the Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Creator. Not only the Creator, the Cherisher, the Sustainer, the Provider of this baby. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Listen to the language of the Quran here. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ. In fact, it is we who provide them and sustain them. It is not you. And for their sake, this is very important here, because the Arabs, they used to practice killing their kids, infantize. So the Quran came to assure them that because of your kids, we are sustaining the parents, not vice versa. Because you have kids. And I don't want to go through this subject in details tonight, but here I recall what Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam mentioned to one of his disciples who came to him and said to him, I have no job. I have no food to eat. I have no income. Immediately Imam said to him, Tazawwaj, go and get married. He thought that the Imam misunderstood him. He said, Yabna Rasulullah, I said, I have no money. He said, Tazawwaj, go and get married. For the sake of your wife and children, Allah is going to sustain you. You are not the sustainer. The real sustainer and provider is someone who's above you. نحن نرزقهم ولا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق نحن نرزقهم وإياكم إن قتلهم كان خطأ major gross crime كان خطأ كبيرة. Do not kill them. This is why abortion is haram. Because the human, even the fetus, has a value today. Then, here, since we established the value of the human being, we go back to the Quran and we find that, however, not all human being or the value has not been given merely to the physical side, not to the body, or not to the body which is void of merits of a human values. This is not the reason why Allah has given us the value. This is why when you read the Quran again in the same chapter, Surah Al-A'raf, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. Indeed, we have made for the hellfire, we have prepared for the hellfire an abundance of a human being and jinn. لَهُمْ. Look at the characteristics of those people. Those people have been characterized with three defects. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They do have hearts. They carry souls and hearts. But they do not meditate. They do not reflect with these hearts. These hearts are useless. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have no values here. They have some good physical shape. They are very masculine. According to the Quran, refers to some of the hypocrites. He says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. If you look at their physical shape, it's very attractive. They are very handsome. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. But those are dead people. Therefore, the Quran says, this group of people, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لا يفقهون بها. Do not meditate, do not reflect, do not contemplate with their hearts. ولهم أعين. Their eyes, though very mesmerizing and capturing and attractive, but they do not see with their own eyes. ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها. ولهم آذان. And they have ears indeed. لا يسمعون بها. They do not listen. Wherewith? They do not listen. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. Those people are indeed, they are like cattles. أنعام, animals. بَلْ. Again, the Quran emphasizes here, even worse. Even more misguided. Because they are heedless of listening to the truth. They have hearts. The hearts are not working, the eyes are not functioning, the ears are not listening, because they are heedless, they are unwilling to listen to the truth. They are void of human merits and human values. So the value that God has bestowed on us is because we are humans and we are ready to listen and prosper and succeed. And excel. This is the reason why we are so important. And here again, I recall a debate when one of the atheists during the time of Bani al-Abbas was complaining, why in Islam we have to chop the fingers of a thief? A thief is a human being. Why we have to chop off his fingers? Because he stole something, for instance. By the way, in Islam we do not chop off the hand. Maybe in Taliban, yes, but not in Islam. In the Islam that I know, The Islam that we received from the Prophet, from the Quran, from the family of the Prophet, you don't go about and start chopping off heads and fingers and legs. We don't do this. This is somewhere else. However, but still we have this injunction. This is a Quranic injunction. Why we chop off the fingers despite this man being a human being? Not because his hand is cheap. No. Not because the hand is cheap. The answer came not because from a Sharif al-Radi. عِزُّ الْأَمَانَةِ أَغْلَاهَا وَأَرْخَصُهَا ذُلُّ الْخِيَانَةِ فَفْهَمْ حِكْمَةَ الْبَارِ. When someone is an honest, his hand is a clean hand, then his hand is worth 500 golden dinars. But once this hand is a dishonest hand, then it loses its value. It loses the value. So when Allah bestows dignity on someone, not because of his size or his color or his eyes, but because of the human values that we carry with us. Now, the question here is how to obtain this dignity, izzah, dignity, sense of honor, self-respect, self-esteem, pride, the glory. Where do we obtain it? Where it is sold? How do we become people with dignity as Allah wanted us to be? Listen to the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Man kana yuridu al-izza fa inna al-izzata lillahi jami'a. If anyone do seek glory, dignity, then only to Allah belongs dignity and glory. In Surah Al-Munafiqun, فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Dignity and glory, honor belongs only to the sovereign and to his apostle and the community of the believers. Meaning that the closer you get to the source, Allah is the source and the only source and the prime source for dignity and izzah and honor. Therefore, if I seek dignity here, I have to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to get myself close to Him. And the closer you get to Allah, the more and the faster you become dignified. Listen to what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi afdhalus salatu was salam says, وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ عِزًّا بِلَا عَشِيرَةٍ وَهَيْبَةً بِلَا سُلْطَانٍ فَخْرُجْ مِنْ ذُلِّ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَى عِزِّ طَاعَتِهِ. If you seek truly to be glorified and dignified without power, عِزًّا بِلَا عَشِيرَةٍ, without having a family, without descending from a lineage of kings and emperors, then this is the road. إِذَا أَرَدْتَ عِزًّا بِلَا عَشِيرَةٍ, without a family and without authority and power, political power. إِذَا أَرَدْتَ عِزًّا بِلَا عَشِيرَةٍ وَهَيْبَةً, glory without political power, glamour without being in the government or with the government. فَخْرُجْ, take yourself out. فَخْرُجْ مِنْ ذُلِّ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَى عِزِّ طَاعَتِهِ. Exit yourself, take yourself out completely out of the disgrace of Allah's disobedience to the grace and the honor and the respect of Allah's obedience. This is the fastest and the shortest way to obtain dignity. Look at the Quran, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we look at certain verses in the Quran and we find the following, that dignity and honor, and I mean the Arabic word of izzah, most of you are familiar with it, self-esteem, sense of honor, and sense of pride in the positive sense, not the negative sense, not being arrogant, but to understand and appreciate and discover your value, that you are valuable, that in this life, in this universe, you are the most important creature. You are the most important item that God created in this universe. Nothing is above you. Al-mu'minu a'azzu 'ala Allahi min al-ka'ba. You are closer in the sights of Allah. To be a true believer, a devout and dedicated person, you are dearer to your God than His house, which is the center of worshiping. Millions and millions go to visit that house and just touch that house for a blessing. You as an individual, you are dearer to God than that house. This is your worth. This is your value. Do not sell cheap. You have to realize, in order for us to understand Islam first, we have to recognize ourselves. مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. In order for us to discover the Lord, we have to rediscover ourselves first. Our worth, our value, our standing. What is my value in the market today? Am I expensive or I'm cheap? What is it? If I cannot rediscover myself, then I will be fallen in the traps. I cannot worship God freely and wisely. Many people, they sold themselves very cheaply. And this is why we are here. This is why we are here. We are here because most of the people during the time of Bani Umayyah and Bani al-Abbas, and even today, they did not appreciate their human value. Yazid can mobilize 30, 40, 50,000, even more, in some of the traditions, 500,000 soldiers in a few days. To fight whom? To fight the Romans? To fight the Persians? To fight the atheists? To fight the son or the grandson of the apostle of God, the prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people did not understand their value. This is why they were misguided. However, in Islam, dignity and honor is inseparable, indispensable from worshipping, from the ibadah. These two, they go hand in hand, dignity, izzah, and worshipping. Allah did not ask us for any worshipping. Allah wants us to have a specific type of worshiping, a dignified worshiping, an honorable worshiping. Listen to the Quran. Quran reminds us of the very first episode which took place on earth, the very first crime on earth. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Tell them, recite to them, to the Muslims, the episode of the children of Adam, Abel and Cain, when they both gave sacrifice to God. Allah accepted from one of them and rejected the other. So not any type of sacrifice or worshipping is accepted by God. You can't say that I can worship Him the way I want, the way I like. This is wrong. Allah is seeking specific way of worshipping, not any way of worshipping. قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا. Indeed, God only accepts and appreciates the deeds of the righteous, the pious and the righteous, those who have a pure intention, those who do what they do only for the sake of Allah. Today, sometimes you are in the shower, taking a shower, and you have to say that this shower is dedicated for Allah. If you do not say this, the shower would not be accepted from you. You have to repeat it. Certain types of showers, you are familiar with them. For men and women both. If you do not say qurbatan ilallah, even a shower, a simple washing of the hand and the face, which we call wudu, ablution, you have to say qurbatan ilallah. If you say it, do it just to cool yourself. It's hot and you want just to cool yourself. You can't go and pray with that. You have to go back again and do it not to please yourself, but qurbatan, seeking nearness, meaning dedicating the complete. You know, some of our scholars, not some, all the scholars, say that if you are halfway through, you started the ibadah, the worship, whether it is wudu, shower, salat, fast, with the intention of seeking nearness, but halfway through you change your mind. Halfway through, you started the salat, Allahu Akbar, I am doing the prayers for Allah. Suddenly, your son comes into the room, or your father. So you change the tone. Rather than being fast forward, you know, express prayers, you start doing it with humility, with a nice tone. You switch the niyyah, then here your intention is not for Allah. You switched it. And some of the ulama, they say, this is voided, is not accepted. الرِّيَاءُ هُوَ الشِّرْكُ الْخَفِيِّ. Not only it will void, it will strip you out of all the credits that you received. Therefore, the intention, specific form of ibadah. Let's come to Islam today. The prayers that we do and the hajj that we go to have to be dignified. The salat and the hajj, they both are polarized between izzah and dhillah, either an honored action, a dignified action which brings dignity and honor and value to you, or if not, then you have no third choice. It will bring total disgrace for you. How is that? The salat. What is the most important gesture in the salat? What is it? Can I hear some voices tonight? What is the most important gesture in the entire prayers? What is it? Niyyah? Other than the niyyah, I am saying gesture, physical gesture. Sujood. Who said sujood? MashaAllah. Ja'alaka Allah min as-sajideen, inshaAllah. Sujood, indeed, prostration. Why prostration? Because prostration is the extreme form of humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're putting the most blessed and honored place in your body on the dust, only and only to show absolute humility to your Lord. That's the only explanation for it. Now, if your sujood prostration was not for Him, If it is for him, it brings you dignity and honor. You feel the nearness to him. The hadith states, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عِنْدَمَا يَكُونُ سَاجِدًا. The ever nearest time that you can be close, so close to your God, to your Lord, is when you prostrate, when you bow down, when you put your forehead on the dust. Although you are the lowest physically, but spiritually you are the highest. The highest. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدِ. Why? Because this is the extreme form of a humiliation. In Christianity, they go to the church, they bow down, they kneel, but they don't have more beautiful form of a humiliation than us. We put our forehead and nothing below this. So if you do it for him, your prayers will be the best and you will be the nearest to him. But if your intention was different, if prostration was not for him, you will be not only deprived of being an honorable and dignified person, you will be deprived from the grace, and therefore you will be disgraced by Allah. The farthest from him. Therefore, the same prayers becomes counterproductive. Rather than taking you close to him, it takes you away from him. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Woe to those who perform prayers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. Men, the hadith says, prophetic tradition, مَنْ لَمْ تَمْنَعْهُ صَلَاتُهُ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ لَمْ يَزْدَدْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بُعْدًا. If your prayers does not keep you away from doing shameful acts, in some translation, this is a referral to fornication and adultery. And every evil act, الْفَحْشَاءُ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. If you still stand to pray, but at the end, after the prayers, you go ahead, or that person goes ahead with his evil plan, committing fornication, then the same prayers is taking him away. Not the dancing, huh? Not laying on the beach, but the same prayers, imagine. The same standing, the same bowing, the same prostration are taking him away from Allah. لَمْ تَزِدْهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بُعْدًا. Muslims used to pray. On the day of Ashura, even Umar ibn Sa'd was an imam, a leader who led the prayers. We saw both camps. In one of them, Imam Hussein is leading the prayers. In fact, the battle of Ashura started after the Asr, the afternoon prayers. And both camps. Don't think that Yazid and his group and Umar ibn Sa'd were dancing and drinking at that time. They were praying. But look at the difference between the two prayers. One of them leads into the love and the compassion for martyrdom, shahada. One of them stands in front of Imam Hussein. He says, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I will stand and protect you. You do the Jama'ah prayers and I will stand before you to protect you from the arrows. And others, they do pray, but at the same time, immediately after the prayers, Allahu Akbar. Isn't it that amazing? Immediately after the prayers, not after drinking alcohol, huh? After facing their Lord, facing the Qibla, after asking their Lord, telling him, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the right path. Immediately after that, they mobilize their forces to slaughter the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not an dignified prayers. This is not a dignified prayers. The same thing for Hajj, brothers and sisters. Hajj is the most significant manifestation of a human servitude to God. The most expression of a human slavery and servitude to God is demonstrated in the Hajj rites and rituals. How many of you have been to Hajj? Quite a few. I can recognize some faces here. And I hope, inshallah, I'm not doing any advertisement here for any group, but I am urging you to go to Hajj, and I will speak about that, inshallah, one night. I promise you, I will speak about the good advantages and outcomes of this spiritual trip. In the Hajj, those who have been to Hajj, they know what I mean. Sometimes we have to run between Safa and Marwa. We have to be undressed. We have to wrap ourselves with two pieces of cloths. We have to sleep on the dust. We have to eat with the rest of the people. In the tawaf, we have to circumambulate with millions and millions of black, red, white, African, Chinese, others. Maybe the smell is not very nice sometimes, most of the time. Maybe even what you see is not very nice. But through this difficult process, you are seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are achieving your goals. You are building your soul through this difficult process. So if the Hajj was not for Allah, was for something else, if my intention was something else, not Allah, then I will be the most disgraced. And this is the biggest loss. Because in the Hajj, I humiliate myself. Sometimes we have to sleep in a room with another 15 people. You can hardly hear, stay in the room with your wife, you know. Imagine in the Hajj, with 15 other people, you have to be in one room. It is sometimes disgraceful, but if you are doing it for Allah, it is not disgraced. It is a dignified action. Now we come to Islam, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Muslims were in Mecca, did not say to them, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. Because in Mecca they lacked value, they lacked power, they lacked organization, they lacked respect. So at that time, Islam did not complete. When they moved to Medina, when Islam became meaningful, when Islam became powerful, when there was harmony and unity among the Muslim community, when they were respected by their enemies and friends, at that moment Allah says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. Today, I have completed your faith for you, and I have also bestowed my complete grace on you. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, concluded my grace by appointing a man to succeed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that the normal salawat you send here, or you have more powerful than that? وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Today, you became dignified and honored. Likewise, if Islam without Imam Hussein is an insignificant faith, a meaningless tradition. A worthless and valueless religion. It was Imam Hussein who bestowed dignity and honor into this religion. Going back to what I mentioned in the preface, the three essential components in our creation are three: reasoning, free will, and most importantly, the third element, and that is human dignity, human honor, sense of honor. Sense of honor was imparted by Imam Hussein alayhi salam to this faith and to this religion. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. Husayn is of me and I am of Husayn. We both integrate and complement each other. Take Husayn out of Islam, take Husayn out of the Prophet, Islam cannot function. Islam would not be a dignified religion. If you take Hussein and the concept of Hussein and Husseinism from Islam, Islam is not a completed religion. Islam will be a defected religion. It has been completed by the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. One of the most important sayings of Imam Hussein in the city of Medina, before he embarked on his mission, noble mission, he said, "Ala wa inna ad-da'i ibn ad-da'i." This is the mission statement. "Ala wa inna ad-da'i ibn ad-da'i qad rakaza bayna ithnatayn bayna as-sillati wadh-dhilla." Yazid ibn Muawiyah is intimidating me and squeezing me, giving me only two options: silla, the fight, or dhilla, the surrender, complete surrender to him. I have no third option. Either I have to fight, confront him, or I have to accept his terms and surrender completely to him and pay allegiance to him. But what was the answer? وَهَيْهَاتَ مِنَّ الذِّلَّ. How impossible and how far for me to accept humiliation and surrenderance to Yazid. I would not accept that. وَهَيْهَاتَ مِنَّ الذِّلَّ. يَعْبَى اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ لَنَا وَرَسُولُهُ وَحُجُورٌ طَابَتْ. Not only me, my Lord, my Creator would not accept that for me. My Prophet, my grandfather would not accept that for me. وَحُجُورٌ طَابَتْ وَحُجُورٌ طَهُرَتْ. So هَيْهَاتْ مِنَّ الذِّلَّ is one of the most important axioms of the day of Ashura. هَيْهَاتْ مِنَّ الذِّلَّ. How far, how impossible for a believer such as Hussein عليه السلام with his stature to accept humiliation. هَيْهَاتْ مِنَّ الذِّلَّ. In fact, humiliation means the annihilation of the soul. Death, in Islam gives preference to death over humiliation. This is the only religion where you find that preference, priority have been given to death over humiliation, defeat, and dhilla, and disgrace. Why? Because in death, only the physical side of us dies. Only the physical side. And I will mention this about death in the upcoming nights. Death is a transferal from this life into another life. Not with this vehicle, with another vehicle. We will come to that. This is the meaning of death. The soul remains. The essence of the human remains. The body goes away, but in dhillah, accepting humiliation and disgrace, not only the body is taken away from you, but the soul, the annihilation of the soul too. This is why dhillah and humiliation was impossible for a man like Imam Hussein. وَهَيْهَاتَ مِنَّ الذِّلَّ. Let me conclude here. You have seen brothers and sisters, throughout your life. Sometimes a friend, a family member that you know, who resigned his job because he or she could not stand any longer there. When you go to them and tell them, you had a very profitable job in this company, in this place, why did you leave it? He said, because my dignity is more important than the money I am making. So I'd rather resign. Some people resign the job and leave the company. Others, in some cases that I saw in my life, they left the entire city. Sometimes, in some cases, they left the whole country. They moved from one country to another to escape disgrace and humiliation. This is with an ordinary man. When you come to the most honored, and that is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, he would not only resign and desert his city, he's going to resign the whole life. He's going to desert the whole life for a better life, for a life with dignity and a pride and honor and a glory at Darul Akhirah. He would resign this lower life to one which is much better and much rewarding. And this is what Allah says in the Quran, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The end result is going to be for the righteous. And this is just what Imam did, alayhi salam. He wanted to leave this life. Why? أَلَا وَإِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا سَعَادَةً. Death, physical extermination for me is nothing but felicity and prosperity. وَالْحَيَاةَ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ. But living along with oppressors and tyrants is nothing but barama, affliction and anguish. This is why Imam Hussein decided to go to a better place. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. The beautiful wording in the Quran. Those who left this life for a better place, who gave their life, who sacrificed their life for the sake of Allah, for the sake of their faith, do not ever say to them they are dead. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Indeed, they are living humans indeed. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. We do not have the capacity to realize that they are living being. We do not see, we do not feel. We are incapacitated. But in fact, they are living being indeed. ولكن لا تشعرون. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. عاشوراء, we know that Imam Hussein did not die to stir emotions. Imam Hussein did die and gave his life to stir the conscience, to stimulate the souls, to resurrect the human souls. This is the main goal of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He did not die for me to come after him and sit and weep for him. He died for me to reach salvation, to be awakened, to reevaluate my role in life. What is the relationship between me and him? Why I am here? What have I done in the past? What I am doing now? What is my role and my duty in the future? To resurrect me. He's not dead for me to come and sit and weep for him. But brothers and sisters, emotions is part of this process. We are a human being. God endowed us with emotions. When Ibrahim, the son of the prophet, dies at the age of 1 year and 10 months, the prophet was walking in his procession, in his funeral. The prophet turned to the mountain in Medina before the burial of Ibrahim, saying to that mountain, "Ayyuha al-Jabal, O mountain which is made of rocks, لو أن بك ما بي, if you suffer, if you just realize what I am suffering, if you carry my suffering and my pain, you will be dismantled and broken. لو أن بك ما بي لهدك, you will be dismantled. This is Rasulullah. Rasulullah, Allah brought the sakina, the serenity on his heart. He's not an ordinary person like me. He has forbearance and patience and endurance. But when he lost a beloved son, he could not stand. He was weeping and sobbing. In fact, we imitate the prophet. Some of our critics, they say that the Shia, the followers of Hussein, they are flagellating themselves, self-flagellation. They endure pain on themselves. They beat themselves. We are not doing that. We are imitating Rasulullah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. We are emulating and imitating the tradition of the Prophet. 3 times Rasulullah weeps for Hussein. 1 time at his birth, at the very first moment of his birth, when he comes to receive him, takes him from Umm al-Fadl bint al-Harith, he embraces Hussein. Hussein is a few hours old, and he kisses him, and then he weeps. Umm al-Fadl asks him, "Ya Rasulullah, something wrong with Hussein? Physically wrong?" He said, "No, he's perfect." ولكنه تقتله أمتي وهم ينالون شفاعتي لا أنالهم الله شفاعتي يوم القيامة. He's perfect, beautiful child. But I am looking 60 years from now, when a fraction of my community who claim to belong to me kill him, slaughter him, and yet they expect me to intercede on their behalf of the Day of Judgment. May Allah never grant them my intercession. لا أنا لهم الله شفاعتي. This was the first incident. Imagine, the Prophet cries for Hussein on his birth occasion. The second time, this hadith has been narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the narrator is Abu Huraira. He says, "We were with the Prophet walking in the alleyways of Medina. We saw Hassan and Hussein playing with the rest of the kids. When the Prophet looked at Hussein, he went to reach out to him, to catch him. Hussein, a little boy, maybe 3 or 4 years old, he realized that his grandfather is after him. He wants to catch him. So he started running. And the Prophet left his companions, the Prophet of God. And he was running after Hussein. Al-Husayn ya'du wal-Rasul ya'du khalfah. The baby is running. And the Prophet is running after him. Hatta amsakahu Rasulullah. The Prophet managed to get hold of Hussein. فَوَضَعَ يَدًا خَلْفَ قَفَاهُ. He put one hand, one palm here, and the other تَحْتَ حَنِكَهُ, on his throat. ثُمَّ قَبَّلَهُ ثم قال حسين مني وأنا من حسين، أحب الله من أحب حسينا، حسين is of me and I am of Hussein. May Allah bestows His grace and His love and His compassion on the one who loves Hussein. This was the second incident when the Prophet cried for Hussein. And the third one, again, historians tell us that when the Prophet was on deathbed during his last days before his final departure, Hussein enters the room running, goes inside the room. Salama says, I open the door and I find Hussein, the little boy, sitting on his father's chest. But the Prophet had a piece of soil, a sample of soil in his hand, looking at it and weeping. So when I entered, the Prophet turned to me and said, Ya Salama, this is a sample of Karbala's soil. Keep it with you. I have just received it from Jibreel alayhi salam. He gave it to me and he said, Inna waladaka hadha maqtool. The boy that you admire so much and you love so much is going to be murdered after you. And this is a sample of that soil, the land of Karbala. خُذِيهَا يَا أُمَّ سَلَمَةَ. Put it, keep it in a bottle, and then when you look at this soil turning blood, you realize that my son is murdered. And that was the third time the Prophet weeps for Hussein. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The poets will come and visit our imams during the days of Ashura and Muharram. As-Sayyid al-Himyari, one of the prominent poets, came and visits al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Al-Imam says, today is the day of Muharram and I want to listen to you with tender-heartedness, tenuity, and shidni bil-riqqah. He asks him, implore him to recite a few poetry for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. فأنشد السيد الحميري أمرر أمرر على جدث الحسين وقل لأعظمه الزكية يا أعظمي إن لا زلت من وطفاء ساكبتي روية ما لذ عيش ما لذ عيش بعد رضك بالجياد الأعوجية قبر تضمن سيدا آباؤه خير البرية فإذا وقفت بقبره فأطل به وقف المطية وابكي المطهر للمطهر والمطهرة الزكية كبكاء معولة أتت يوما لواحدها المنية. يقول الراوي فرأيت دموع الإمام تنحدر على خديه. I saw the tears of Imam rolling down on his face. وارتفع الصراخ من داره. And I hear the loud cry from inside, the woman's side. ويدخل دعبل الخزاعي على الإمام الرضا. In another incident, دعبل الخزاعي, another famous poet who goes and visits Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam in his house. He says, when I went there, I saw the Imam was depressed and sad, flanked by his disciples and his companions. A very sad setting. When I looked at the Imam, he said, Ya Da'bil, do you recognize these days? These days are days of mourning and sadness for us, but days of happiness and joy for our enemies. These are the days of Ashura and Muharram. Ya Da'bil man baka wa abka wahidan fi musibat al-Husayn kana ajruhu ala Allah. If you yourself cry, or if you encourage the crying, your reward will be absolutely, your full reward will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I ask you, Ya Da'bil, to say some poetry for the mourning and lamentation of my grandfather Imam Hussein. And Da'bil begins his famous, very famous poetry. Bakit, bakit, uli rasmi al-dar min arafati. وأذريت دمع العين بالوجناتي وفك عرى صبري وهاجت صبابتي رسوم ديار أقفرت وعراتي لآل رسول الله بالخيف من منى وبالبيت والتعريف والجمرات ديار علي والحسين وجعفر وحمزة والسجاد ذو الثفنات إلى أن يقول قفا نسأل الدار التي خف أهلها متى عهدها بالصوم والصلوات وأين الأولى شطت بهم غربة النوى أفانين في الآفاق مفترقاتي إلى أن يقول أفاطم لو خلت الحسين مجدلا. Usually when they mourn, they go first to the mother of the child, the mother of the son. And hence Da'bil addresses Fatima al-Zahra. أفاطم لو خلت الحسين مجدلا. وقد مات عطشانا بشط فراتي إذا للطمت الخد فاطم عنده وأجريت دمع العين بالعبرات أفاطم قومي يا ابنة الخير واندبي نجوم السماوات بأرض فلاتي.
نسألك اللهم وندعوك.